Can we get that first slide on there? There we go. Nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Sure. I think we can all relate to this one. It's quite interesting. I actually want to start you guys off with like a little story. If we can have the next slide there, Ryan. I want to place you guys in 1906 in the east coast of America. And it's a time just before the Great Depression, which was a horrible time for a lot of people. There was a lot of people struggling financially. There was poverty. There was just all sorts of issues in the States at that time. And it was just before World War I. So it was really, it wasn't a great time in world history, for that matter. And in the middle of this, there was this guy called William J. Seymour. And he was a one-eyed former slave preacher that came out of an extremely impoverished background. And he went to go visit some family, and he heard this preach from a preacher that spoke about the Holy Spirit. Now, back then, the Holy Spirit wasn't a hot topic. You know, it wasn't the thing you would want to talk about in church. And he was so touched by this. Nothing happened in the service. It was purely this guy was just sharing the word. And he went back to his own congregation in the most impoverished part of Los Angeles. And you see the little building there. The rent was $8 a month. And he started preaching the Holy Spirit. And while he was preaching, he got filled. While he was preaching, everybody else got filled. And what happened was, it started a revival. This is on a place called Azusa Street. Now, some people, if I can just read you a little article where it talks about this revival was characterized by ecstatic spiritual experiences accompanied by miracles, dramatic worship services, speaking in tongues, interracial mingling, and participants were criticized by the secular media, Christian theologians, for behavior that considered to be outrageous and unorthodox, especially at this time. And even today, this revival is known as, this was sort of the birthplace and the start of the Pentecostalism or evangelistic movements. But you know, this is the original church. This is the church of Acts. This is where it happened. And all of a sudden, the Lord used this one-eyed former slave in the poorest part of town to start this revival. And this revival went on for almost 9 years. People would walk into this little building and be hit by the Holy Spirit, instantly convicted of their sins and filled with the Spirit for 9 years. Now, is this sort of, you know, would this be your ideal place to start a revival, you know? Wouldn't it be better in, like, let's say, a big mega church, you know? That's where revival needs to start, you know? Where 6,000 or 7,000 people are there on a Sunday. No, the Lord decided to use this guy, a one-eyed slave, one-eyed slave. Now, who can relate to me that God can be completely unpredictable? Yeah? But yet, God is a God of order. So if we can have the next slide there, just so you guys know I'm not lying to you. In 2 Corinthians 14, verse 13, it says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, and all the churches of the saints." Now, it's amazing to know that, yes, the Lord is a God of order, but then again, He does things completely outside of our realm of thinking. We don't always understand, Lord, what are you doing? But let's just look at some of the things. Because the Lord is He's the one that created everything. So He's put certain laws in place. So if we can have the next slide there. I'm sure we all know a few of these things: scientific law, physical law, natural law, law of the jungle. You know, these are laws that sort of govern us. If we just quickly look at scientific law, which would be things like thermodynamics. Now, thermodynamics, just very briefly, it talks about you cannot create energy or destroy energy. It can only be moved from one place to another. Now, I'd like to add a little thing in there. I'd like to say you cannot create something that's already been created or destroy it, but only move it from one place to another. Now, these are things that the Lord when he created us, when he created the world, he put these things into place, and no one can deny it. It's there. Whether you believe in it or not, it's true. Gravity, I can say I don't believe in gravity, but if I go jump off this building, there's not going to be much left of me because of gravity. So it doesn't matter what I believe, it's there. It's a law. Then you also have physical law, and my favorite, which is natural law, which is based on something. So this is almost God's law. You have to base it on a baseline. So the Bible gives us parameters, and it tells us this is right and wrong. So we base our law onto that. And then you have the law of the jungle, which we know most of the animals are governed by this. It's all about survival. It's all about staying alive. Whatever you need to do to stay alive, that is your law. So these are things that are built into this world that the Lord has placed there so that everything can work in order. But this is now where it starts getting interesting. If we can go to the next slide. The Lord has given us a picture of this law and order by firstly the Trinity, the Son, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the Father is the Creator, the Son, the Redeemer, and Savior. And the Holy Spirit, I like to see him as the executor. He comes in and he helps us to do these things. And also then there's delegated authority. So we've got the family. Now the family is something that the devil tries to destroy on a daily basis. That is his number one enemy in this world. If he can destroy the family, then we're in big trouble. Because that is the one thing that the Lord has given us and that he holds so sacred. And even in family, there's a law and a structure that he's given us. Firstly, it's the husband is the head, the wife, the supporter, and then the children. If these things get flipped upside down or a few elements gets taken out, we all know what happens. It's an uphill battle. Just thankfully, the Lord can come in and he can restore those things. He can come in and he can guide us and help us. So even if an element's missing or due to unexplained or consequences or things that happened, the Lord can come in. But his perfect will is to have it in that order. And it's not to box us in. It's to protect us. It's to give us the fullness of life. Then other part of delegated authority would be the church. The church has certain structures, certain things that the Lord has put in place for us to understand and to be able to really maximize what he's given us. Government, the same thing. We all know what happens if government doesn't function the way it should be. You know, we're living in this society, but then again we know that the Lord can come in and he can change anything. I want to give you guys a few illustrations. We all know Sarah, who was Abraham's wife. They wanted a child for many years. They had to wait approximately 80 years before the Lord gave her a child. Now, this is not the norm. You wouldn't necessarily give the birth of a new nation to an 80-year-old woman. But the Lord decided he was going to do this. Moses, I mean, if you think about it, he was a murderer. He had a speech impediment. He couldn't talk properly, but the Lord used him. And how did he speak to him in the beginning? Through a burning bush. I mean, this isn't exactly the norm of, you know, how do you get someone into a new, you know, that's like a job interview. Let's go to a burning bush quickly. Yeah. And then when he had to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, the Lord said, there's actually an easy way. It takes approximately 2 or 3 days' journey to get from Egypt to modern-day Israel. But the Lord took them the long way. And they had to go through the Red Sea because the Red Sea had to be parted. You know, the Lord wanted to show his glory. He wanted to show them, listen here, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm your God. And this is what I'm capable of. And it's just sad, unfortunately, the people, you know, they saw all these things, but yet they still didn't believe. They didn't have faith in the end. Then I want to read you guys a little section here. And this is to do with King David and his kingship. It's from 1 Samuel 16:6. Oh no, sorry, I'm going to read from verse 1 actually. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul? Since I've rejected him as king over Israel, fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I've chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I've come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. Now, listen to this. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before me." So Samuel, as anointed he was, so this is now the next part of the scripture. He thought, "Great, lekker, the Lord's taking me to this place and he's going to show me who the king is." And he sees Eliab, which was this, I mean, he was just a likely suspect. You know, he was the jock, the big, the strong guy, you know, with the Batman jaw. And it's obvious, it's him. The Lord's going to use this guy to establish his kingdom forever. No, what does the Lord say? But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at outward appearances, but the Lord looks at the heart." I mean, this is rough. This is rough stuff. The Lord had to say, "I reject this guy because his heart's not right." The Lord knew what was in David's heart. David wasn't even there. They had to go find him looking after the sheep. And he wasn't the likely suspect. He wasn't the first choice of us. It wasn't sort of in our mind. We wouldn't have chosen David as the guy to establish God's kingdom forever. A man after God's own heart. I mean, if you go through the Bible and you read, you know, everything that David went through and his relationship with the Lord, only the Lord could have known. And this is the same for each and every one of us. We think we know, but the Lord's got different ideas. If we look at Jesus, I mean, basically everything about him is unorthodox, is against the norm, you know, is swimming against the tide. You know, his divine conception, his death, his ascension, his outpouring, you know, releasing the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. All of these things were against the normal, against what our minds want, against the flesh. If you think about Peter was this uncouth fisherman, this guy, loudmouthed, you know, tempered, independent guy, and the Lord just said, "Follow me." And he changed this guy into the rock that the Lord used to build the church upon. If you look at Paul, I mean, he executed Christians as a hobby. But yet the Lord brought him in and he used that zeal to go and spread the word to the Gentiles. The way Jesus did things, the laying on of hands. I don't think we realize it's, you know, for us it's normal. You know, we lay on our hands and we pray for people. Back then, that wasn't a normal thing. It was like, "Hey, why are you touching me? What's going on here?" If you look at the next scripture, in John 6:6, just see the unorthodox way that Jesus did things. When Jesus had said this, he spat on the ground, made some mud, and applied it to man's eyes. Then he told him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So the men went and washed and came back seeing. This wasn't a normal thing. This wasn't sort of what people were expecting. And as we look back at the Azusa Street revival, we realize that the Lord can use anybody. He can use any one of us. He can use anybody to do his will. And so many times we go through these difficult times and we realize that we need to do something now. We need to act. We need to, what can we do? What law can we fulfill to be able to achieve? And this is where the Lord is so interesting. Even though he's given us all of these laws, he's given us all of these things that you can't deny. This is how it happens. But yet he breaks outside of that. He breaks beyond our issues. He breaks beyond the things that we struggle with. He says, allow me to come in. I will give you a way. I will show you how to do this. I will show you. I will help you. But we need to allow him. Samuel, I mean, what an amazing guy. This guy was from birth, basically. He was groomed to be this prophet in Israel. So you would expect he knows what's going on. You would expect he's the sort of, he knows, hey, look, you know, I'm going to go there and I'm going to choose the new king. Snap. Yeah, it's going to be great. Awesome. Another day at the job. And he gets there and he completely misses the plot. The Lord had to tell him, no, I've rejected this man. Because you look at the outwards, I look at the inwards. And it's amazing. We need to ask ourselves, Lord, what are you looking at in our lives? Is it about what we look like or what situation we're in, how much money we earn? You know, I just want to reference back to Francisco's little testimony or little illustration he gave us, I think it was last week for the offering, where he used the example of the note, the 50 rand note or 10 rand note or whatever, and he crumpled this thing up and he was stepping on it and it was dirty, but the value hasn't changed. The value is still the same. And it's the same with us. The Lord, sometimes we think, wow, geez, he can't use me. I'm a one-eye slave in the poorest part of town, in the worst possible part of history. But the Lord said, I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you to do great things. And for each and every one of us, it's the same. The Lord wants to use you. He wants to use you for great things. But we need to allow him. We need to allow him to fill us with his Spirit, to fill us with the gifts that he has given us. We know the Lord is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the one that's created everything. He's the one that's given us creation. He has perfect foresight. Nothing is random. Nothing is just happening because of it's happening. There's a reason. It all works together to bring his kingdom into being. And he desires our welfare. If we can go to the next scripture. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. You know, in life, God can do or move or cause things to take place that we don't understand, to bring his perfect will into being, into our lives. We don't understand it. Why is God doing this to me? Why is this happening? And some can say, oh, it's fate, or no, you sinned, or you know. The Lord knows. We need to allow him. If I can just give a brief testimony. You know, while I was preparing for this, I thought, yes, you know, what sort of, where can I get a testimony for this? And it's amazing. I just thought of my own father. He was a very rough man. He was a bordering alcoholic. Very strong-willed, independent, massive anger management. And, you know, he wasn't the likely suspect. And through the combined years of prayer, my mother was just praying for him. One night in his sleep, in a dream, the Lord came to him. And he was saved like this. He was filled with the Holy Spirit like this. He woke up, filled with the Spirit, saved, born again. Changed man. Now this isn't normal. There's nothing he could have done. The Lord just said, I've got your number, boy, coming. And 31 years later, full-time ministry. Working for the Lord, doing things for the Lord. There was ups and downs in those times. But the Lord called him, and that's the same thing here. It's not the norm. So don't think, oh, geez, the Lord can't use me. The Lord can't use me to do things. I'm in this thing, or I'm in that thing, or I'm in the wrong industry, or I'm the wrong color, or I don't have enough money in my bank account. It doesn't matter. The Lord will use you, and He will show you. He looks deeper than the outside. He looks into our hearts. It's interesting that as we allow the Lord to come into our hearts, He does some strange things. And He does things that we don't understand. And He does things that we don't always agree with. And sometimes He asks us to lay down certain things. Things in our lives that are maybe not good for us, or things that we think are great. And we're like, no, Lord, I want to let this thing go. I don't want to open this door and let you in. It's all these rooms, but there's still one door closed. It's locked, and you're keeping the key in your pocket, or you're keeping it here close to your heart. And the Lord says, let me in. I want to transform you. I'm going to light up this place. I want to make it a place where people can come in, where He can establish His will, where He can establish His kingdom. You know, like this church, you know, Retief has been with us for how long? Like 3 years. 2 years. And I think 3 years before that, this church was established. And I think just this community is such a testimony on its own. Where, I mean, you know how many churches there are in this area. You can literally, you know, throw a stone from the one to another one. And each one has its own sort of flavor and way of doing things. And it's amazing how the Lord uses each and every church to reach a certain type of person. This little community was for myself and my wife. We both came back from overseas. And, you know, we were looking for a community where we could really firstly experience the Holy Spirit and just see the Lord's work established, and then also just be accountable. And as we walked in, I remember actually Rolf was the first guy that sort of grabbed me and was like, hey, welcome. So yeah, naughty badge. And that made such an impression on us because we felt welcome. And, you know, it wasn't always an easy ride. Didn't always agree with everything. You know, sometimes the sermons were a bit long and we had to sit there and, you know. But, you know, the Lord worked in our lives, and He got us into the place where, hey, we need to be involved. We need to be part of this community. We need to change. We need to see the people not for the outward appearances, but the inwards. And as we got to know the people, and as we started seeing the people and the church and the pastor through the Lord's eyes, everything changed for us. We're excited to come to church. We're excited to be part of the body. We're excited to serve. We're excited to do the ministry, help with coffee, set up. I had to change my heart. And in turn, the Lord changed. Well, by changing our heart, everything changed. Now, everything was basically, not that everything changed around us, but because of our hearts changing, our minds towards whatever happened were changing. So I just want to encourage you guys. Come into that place where you say, Lord, let my heart change. Let my heart change towards my situation. Maybe you're sitting in a job where you're not understanding, Lord, I hate this place. I hate the people. The boss is on my case. These people are on my case the whole time. They're persecuting me. And your prayer is, Lord, take me out of this season. Take me out of this job. Give me this new thing. And then the Lord says, no. You need to change your heart. You need to allow me to change your heart. And as your heart changes, you get into this place where all of a sudden your environment starts changing. Because now the Lord is doing the work. It's not you doing it. You can't escape it. I remember I was working for an owner and on a boat. And basically we were just scrubbing decks all day. And geez, I was so frustrated. I was like, Lord, what am I doing here? You know, this isn't me. And He brought me to this place where the one morning, again, I was complaining, Lord, what am I doing here? And the Lord said, who are you working for? And I said, geez, I don't know, this owner. And the Lord said, no, who are you working for? And I said, well, I'm actually working for you. And he's like, yes. So if you work for me, how would you work if you work for me? And all of a sudden, I was like, conviction, boom. I started scrubbing even harder, because now I was scrubbing for the King. I was scrubbing for the Creator. And guys, it was like a light switch that just came on. Because of the heart change, all of a sudden, everything started changing. I started working extra hours. I started putting extra in. And it was maybe a month or two after that. All of a sudden, the authority, the owner would come and he'd say, wow, yes, you're doing amazing work. We're noticing what you're doing. You're not taking shortcuts. You're doing everything right. You're doing it with excellence. We want to promote you. Promotion came. And after that, another promotion came. And it was a snowball effect of just changing my heart towards the Lord. Changing, saying, Lord, I'm doing this as unto you. The same as this pastor from the Azusa Street. He had to get to this place and said, Lord, wow, I've heard this message. I'm going to preach it. People most probably going to criticize me. They're going to hate me. And the Lord said, but I will help you. And it ended up being a 9-year-long revival. Imagine people walking in here, boom, for 9 years. Why not? You need to ask the Lord for this stuff. Yeah? Peter Lefons, Dinky Kom Spiel. I just want to read you guys something as a little paraphrased Bible compilation. Maybe just close your eyes and really just allow the Lord to sink this in. Therefore, let us exhibit the fruits of the Spirit, avoiding and refraining from idle talk that is worthless, grieving the Holy Spirit, but rather encourage, edify, comfort, and console one another in brotherly love, as the word instructs. For then our lives will be peaceable, prosperous, and ensuring that God's favor rests upon us always. Isaiah 55, 8 verses, from 8 to 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We need to allow the Lord to guide our thoughts. We need to allow Him to come into every single situation. To allow Him to come into our hearts, to change our hearts, turn it from rock to stone, from stone to flesh. We need to allow the Lord to come into that situation where you're in a difficult job space. We need to come, the Lord, come into that situation where you're struggling in your personal life. Where you're struggling with a family member. Where you're struggling with finances. Where you're struggling with health, you need to let the Lord come in. He's the only one that can change. He's the only one that can renew, that can strengthen. I just firstly, just with everybody's eyes closed, I just want to double check and find out, is there anybody that wants to recommit their heart to the Lord? Is there anybody that hasn't accepted Jesus as their personal Savior? Is there somebody here that hasn't allowed Jesus to die on the cross for you? You haven't allowed Him to die for your sins. You haven't allowed Him to come into your heart. You haven't opened all those doors in your heart to Him. If there's anybody with all the eyes closed, you can just raise your hand. You can just pray with you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And secondly, is there anybody that's in a place where you're almost fighting with God? He's saying, He's moving so slowly. Why is things not happening in a particular situation? And you want to do something or make a decision now. But the Lord is telling you to wait. Or you're not hearing that clear word. Is there anybody that's in that season? Just raise a hand. Thank you, Lord. Another question would be, is anybody struggling to trust the Lord? Jesus. Just pray into that. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can allow you into our hearts once again, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you can make our hearts back into flesh. Lord Jesus, I just want to ask that as we're in this difficult place, as we're in this place where we don't understand, Lord, we can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Thank you, Jesus, that you would come in. Lord, thank you that even though you might do things unorthodox and not the way we would expect it to be done, Lord, I just want to thank you that supernaturally you're going to come into every single situation, Lord, and that you are going to show them. You're going to show them. You're going to identify and guide and show your people what to do and how to do it. Lord, and supernaturally you're going to come into that situation and situations are going to change. Environments are going to change. Hearts are going to change. Lord, secondly, I just thank you that we can start trusting you. Lord, in every single situation, doesn't matter how difficult or how easy it might seem, that we can start trusting you. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you, Lord. I want to thank you for this time, Lord, that we can just give our hearts back to you, Lord. And we just want to lift up our hands once again, Lord, and say, Jesus, we give you our hearts, we give you our minds, Lord, and we give you these situations. Even though our thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are our ways your ways. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that your ways are so much higher than our ways, and your thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, I just want to invite anybody afterwards, if you're really sitting in a bind and you're like, how are we going to get through this thing? Just come forward and let some of us pray with you and walk a road with you. You don't need to walk alone. Sure, we trust in the Lord and we give this thing to Him. But remember, there's people sitting next to you. Everybody's going through the same stuff. And we need to walk this road together. So be accountable to someone. Allow someone to pray with you. Allow someone to speak into your life. I'm just going to end off in prayer for us and then, yeah, let's spend some time together. Let's have a coffee together. Let's chat together. And if there's anybody that needs extra prayer, we're here to pray with you guys. Lord, I thank you for this time. Lord, I thank you that this time that we can spend with you. Lord, bless us in this week. Take us out, Lord, and thank you that we can brave this week with new eyes, with your eyes, seeing things through your lens. Thank you that we can give these situations to you, Lord, and thank you that we can see how you are supernaturally going to come into our hearts and into the difficult areas that we find ourselves. And Lord, thank you that we can come back with testimonies, Lord. We thank you for testimonies, Lord. We thank you for revival, Lord. We thank you that you're going to change things in our hearts. That you're going to change this table view, Lord. That this table view is going to become a place where we can pray and we can see your work. And we can testify of how your kingdom is established. We thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Bless you and have a great Sunday.